Our first reading comes from the 10th chapter of Acts. Peter began to speak to the people. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, and everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Word of God, word of life. Our second reading is from Colossians, third chapter. If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Word of God, word of life. Please remain seated.
The Gospel according to Matthew, the 28th chapter. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has been raised from the dead. And indeed, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. I'm trying to find my banner because I want to do this too. I didn't get to do it earlier. So, Alleluia, Christ is risen. Thank you. Happy Easter. This year, we heard Matthew's account of the resurrection, right? And of course, each of the gospel writers tell this story, this central story to our faith. But each one of them has a slightly different take. And Matthew has some interesting details, like only Matthew has guards at the tomb. After Jesus had died, the chief priests came to Pilate, and they were worried because they remembered that Jesus had said he would rise again after 3 days. And so they were afraid that his disciples would come and fake a resurrection. So Pilate told them to go ahead and post guards, post guards and seal the stone to make sure that no one would come and take the body. Also, only Matthew describes an earthquake when the women arrive at the tomb. Matthew has an earthquake at the moment of Jesus' death also, because each of these events is world-changing, and the earth itself is shaken. Now, all four of the Gospels have women who come to the empty tomb, but they differ on which women were there. In Matthew's account, it's Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, who was probably Jesus' mother. And so it's kind of cool, actually, that he refers to her here as the other Mary, because he's highlighting that she was not only the mother of Jesus, but she was also one of the disciples of Jesus. So Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there. They were there at the crucifixion on Good Friday. They were there when Joseph of Arimathea placed Jesus' body in the tomb. And now, just days later, they have come back to the tomb, to the graveside, to mourn their friend, her son, their teacher. And it's there, in the midst of their grief, that they hear an angel say to them, "Do not be afraid." That is the first thing the angel says to the women on Easter Sunday. Not "Rejoice, Jesus is alive." Not "Alleluia, Christ is risen," right? No, the first thing the angel says is, "Do not be afraid." Which makes sense, I think, because these women had every reason to be afraid. They had just seen their loved one tortured and killed, and the oppressive powers that had killed him were still a threat. I mean, there are armed guards at the tomb, for goodness sake. And his followers, these women, are very much in danger. Add to that the sudden appearance of an angel who descends from heaven and makes the very earth shake, and yeah, they have every reason to be scared. Which is why it makes sense that the first words spoken at the resurrection are words of comfort and reassurance in the midst of very real and very valid fear. And these same words are repeated by Jesus himself when he appears to the women. He greets them, and then he says, "Do not be afraid." And he's not placating them, and he's not chastising them for their fear. This is a message from God in the face of their real pain and their real grief. This is a message from God that says, "It's okay. You don't have to be afraid because I am right here with you. You don't have to be afraid because despite what you thought, all is not lost. You don't have to be afraid because despite what you thought, I am not gone. Death has not won. Do not be afraid." This is the Easter message that I very much needed to hear this year, because I have been scared. I have been afraid about a lot of things going on in the world. And honestly, I felt kind of stuck in Good Friday. So I really needed this reminder. I needed this story of the two Marys who were also stuck. They were still grieving. They were still heartbroken and traumatized by the cross. And that is exactly where resurrection takes place. Right in the middle of that real pain and that real grief, that is where God shows up. God comes and finds them in their fear and gives them comfort. God comes and finds them in their grief and shows them new life. They did not know it was possible, but God made it possible. And that is the good news of the resurrection. Even when things are bleak and we can't see a way out, God can. When we can't imagine how things will ever get better, God can. And God does. God continues to show up again and again where we most need it, and continues to bring hope out of despair, joy out of grief, and life out of death. This is the good news. This is the hope. And this is the promise that is given to us. Given to us when we need it most, when we are most afraid, when the very earth under our feet is shaking, when all hope seems lost. Because for God, hope is never lost. Because there is nothing in our lives, there is nothing in the world that can stop God's life-giving work. Absolutely nothing. Not hatred, not violence, not fear, not even death can stop God's life-giving, world-changing love. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Christ is risen.